Our scripture this morning is from the NIV version, and it's Luke 9, 57 through 62. And in my version, the NIV, it said the cost of following Jesus before these verses. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." The words of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to be talking about following Jesus. But let me point out first that we have to adjust our lives to God in order to follow. It means we need to be listening to God. It means we need to be depending on God. And it means that we need to follow Him step by step. And it's not always easy, but it is worth it. Just as a review, we've been doing a sermon series where we've been trying to know and do the will of God. And we've been following the Bible study, Experiencing God, as we've gone through this sermon series. And there are seven realities that are listed under the Experiencing God. And so we're going to be taking a look at those. Actually, today we're going to be looking at the sixth reality under the Experiencing God. But first I want to go back and step through the first five realities so that you can remember what those were about. And let me just say, for anyone who has not been with us in this sermon series or Bible study, there are some additional workbooks. I think there's a couple more still left on my desk. You're welcome to help yourself too, or you're welcome to go back and listen to some of the past sermons that talk about this. But going through those five, or before the one we're looking at today, the first one is that God is always at work around you. The second one is that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. The third one is that God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. The fourth one is that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. The fifth one is God's invitation for you to work with Him always leads to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. And actually, I'm going to stop right there for just a moment, because I want you to look at that fifth one that we had just covered just recently. And it talks about a crisis of belief. And just to explain what a crisis of belief is a point where you come to where you've got to make a decision. You've got to turn one direction or another. And it means you've got to decide whether you will believe and whether you'll believe in God. And if you'll go ahead and look at the very end of that reality, the last few words explain what's required. And what's required is faith and action. Faith and action are required. And so, in addition to that, as far as the faith, it means faith in believing in God. And it's not just sitting there and saying, "I believe," but it's also taking action to believe. And if we look at those first five realities, what I want you to notice about those first five realities is, in fact, if we'll go ahead to the next slide or two slides more. What you can see on those first five realities is that they all begin with God. They all begin with God, and everything really begins with God. But when we come to this sixth reality, it's when the action is in our court, where God is saying, you must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what He is doing. And so that's where we are today, that our action step is to take those major adjustments and change our lives so that we're really following Jesus. And pay attention, if we're following, that means we're not in the lead. And sometimes that's tough for us to do. It means we need to let the Lord do the leading in our lives. Now, our opening hymn this morning was, He leadeth me. That doesn't mean that we get to control everything. It means if we are really followers of God, that we're going to allow Him to direct our steps, that we're going to allow Him to control things. And let's be honest, you know, we're not too good at letting other people have control, even when it's God. You know, we kind of like to pray and tell God what He needs to do. Anybody relate to that? Yet, if we're going to follow, it means He's the one that's leading things, that He's directing our lives. And the problem with us trying to do it is we don't know everything, and we can't see in the future, and we can't understand or even imagine all that God has in store for us or all that God could do. And in fact, Ephesians 3:20 says that now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. You know, it's more than we can even imagine as far as what God can do for us. So if we're trying to do our vision of what we think is right, we would miss out on all the amazing things that God can do. So we can't stay where we are and still go with God. And that's something we need to remember, is you can't stay where you are and go with God. And no one could. You know, you think about the first ones who were called to be Jesus' disciples. They were fishermen. And they couldn't remain fishermen and still go where Jesus wanted them to go. They had to drop their nets, and they had to walk away from those boats. And then they could follow Jesus. You can't stay where you are and go with God. And you know what? Even Jesus, when you stop and think about it, Jesus was in heaven. And when His Father wanted Him to do something special, He couldn't just do it from heaven. In fact, He was sent into this world to live a perfect life, to die upon the cross, and then to be resurrected from the grave. And that's how He did His Father's will. Because you can't stay where you are and go with God. You know, and we see this over and over in the Bible. You know, there's story after story about people that have been used by God, that God touched their lives and they had faith to trust Him. And their action was to adjust their lives. And each one is different, but they all had to leave something and change something in order to do what God wanted them to do. For Noah, he had to leave where he was in order to build the ark. For Moses, he could no longer be a shepherd over the sheep if he was going to lead the people out of Egypt. Now you think about Ruth, and she had to leave her people in order to go to be with the people in Israel and the God of Israel. You think about David, and he had to give up his sheep in order to be the king. For Esther, she could no longer be silent in order to save her people. And Matthew had to give up a lucrative tax collecting business in order to follow Jesus. And of course, there are some that needed a little extra persuasion. We think about Jonah, and he had to spend 3 days in a well before he decided to adjust his life to what God wanted. But then he went out and preached in Nineveh. Or even Saul spent 3 days blind before he went out to preach the gospel and became known as the Apostle Paul. But in all of their lives, they had to adjust their lives in order to follow God and do what God wanted them to do. But, you know, just as there are heroes in the Bible that we read about that changed their lives and did what God wanted them to do, there are also those who didn't do what God wanted them to do. And they missed out on what the Lord was calling them to do in their lives. They missed out on those blessings, on those opportunities. I mean, you think about Matthew. I just mentioned him a minute ago, and he had left a lucrative tax collecting business. But because he did, you know, he was able to go with Jesus and to see the miracles and hear Jesus' teaching and to really experience life and to make a difference. And in fact, he wrote, you know, the first gospel in the New Testament as he wrote his story about what all Jesus did. But you see Matthew, and you see right beside him another young man that also had great wealth and also wanted to follow Jesus. But when Jesus explained to him what he needed to do to adjust his life so that he could follow, it says that he walked away sad because he wasn't willing to give it all up, to do what Jesus was calling him to do. And so we don't even know his name. We just know him as the rich young ruler. He's one that missed out. You know, and Laura just read to us about three that had wanted to follow Jesus, but they all came up with excuses as to why they couldn't adjust their lives to follow Jesus, and they each missed out. So what about you and I? Do you ever wonder about what we've missed out on? Now, what has God been calling us to that maybe we haven't been paying attention to? Or maybe we knew he was calling us to do something and we weren't willing to adjust our lives to it. You know, how do you know when God is calling you to something? How do you know what you need to be doing? You know, we've had a couple of sermons where we've been talking about listening to God's voice and that God speaks. And my greatest suggestion is to make sure that you're spending lots of time in prayer and that you're studying your scripture so that you have a relationship with the Lord. Because as you come to know God even better, you understand his character. And then you seem to hear him better. And you know what he might be calling you to and where he's directing your life. And you can tell sometimes when some things are just kind of laid on your heart. And when they keep coming up and you kind of have that notion, I think God's telling me I need to get involved with this, or I need to do something. And so we pay attention and we listen to how God might be calling us. And also we need to be aware that often I think we kind of put a boundary around what we think we're willing to do or what we think God might call us to do. And yet, you know, we see God calling in a lot bigger ways. So we shouldn't limit ourselves. You know, last week we talked about God-sized assignments. It's God-sized because we can't do it. It's something only God can do. And so when he's calling us to do that, it just means God wants to work through us and do something amazing. And believe me, if God calls you to do something, he will equip you to do it. You know, for all those people that I named just a moment ago, do you think a single one of them thought beforehand that they would be able to do the things that God called them to do? Think about Noah. I doubt that he'd even seen a boat before, and yet God called him to build the ark. You know, or Moses didn't have any experience leading people. Or for each of the disciples before Jesus called them, you know, you look at where they were before and what they ended up experiencing and doing. And you know what? The same's true for you. You can't conceive what all God has for you. In fact, it talks about that in Scripture. in that it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You know, God's got something amazing for each and every one of us if we would just allow Him to take us from where we are to that place where He really wants us to be. You know, in order to do that, we have to really love Him and focus on Him and be willing to adjust our lives to Him. And, you know, sometimes in the Bible we read things and they don't always make us feel very comfortable. The passage that Laura read earlier is not one of those really feel-good scriptures. You know, we like the good-feeling ones, but sometimes there's stuff in there that we kind of go, ooh, I don't really like that. And that's probably one of them. You know, because in Luke 9, the portion that we read, you know, they're coming to Jesus saying, we want to follow you. And we'll go wherever you go. And Jesus doesn't want them to think that it's always going to be easy. He doesn't want to sugarcoat it. He wants to make sure that they understand up front that sometimes it's going to be difficult. And so he tells the first man, he says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. In other words, it's not always going to be comfortable. And you may have to give up some things in order to follow me. The second man, I think, is a very shocking one for many of us as we read that he just wants to go back and bury his father. And we can't believe that Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You know, he just wanted to bury his father. Well, what you need to understand is, in that culture, if his father had died, he would already be buried. Because they didn't have embalming, so as soon as you died, with the heat and everything else, you were put in the tomb and you were buried. And so his father's not dead yet. What he's really saying is, you know, I want to wait until my father, you know, dies later on, you know, and he's probably healthy and happy and everything else, and it may be years before his father dies. But in other words, he's putting it off. And when God calls you to do something, He intends for you to do it immediately. He doesn't mean to wait. He doesn't intend for you to wait until you think it's convenient. And that's really what this man is saying by saying, wait until I bury my father. And then the third one says, you know, I just want to go back and say goodbye to my family. And that seems reasonable, just to go say goodbye to everyone. But basically what he's telling Jesus is, my family is more important than you. And certainly God wants us to love our families, but you know what? He wants us to love Him first, to put Him first in all things. He will take care of everything else, but He wants for Him to be first in our lives. And he goes on and says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And what he means by that is, if a plowman is plowing, then he has to look forward to make sure that the furrow is straight. And if you're constantly looking back or looking around, you're not going to do a very good job. And that's true in anything. You need to be focused on what you're doing. And that's what we need to pay attention to. That we need to love God more than anything. We need to be focused on Him. And we need to adjust our lives to Him. It means absolute surrender. If we're going to follow, we need to adjust our lives to Him and trust Him completely with what He's calling us to do. And believe me, it is worth it. It is worth it. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, it says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. It is worth it. And then Paul says to the Philippians, in Philippians 3, verse 8, He says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Knowing and having a relationship with Jesus Christ is the greatest thing ever. And being able to do the will of God, there's nothing greater than that. But in order to do that, we have to let go of other things and trust in God. That's what it means to adjust our lives. It means to really follow in what we're doing. I want to give you a final picture just to kind of hang on to. And I hope it gives you an image that you can kind of picture. But if you think about a child in a sandbox, and they're sitting there and they're playing with the sand, and maybe they're making castles and mud pies and different things and just having a great time. You know, and then the father comes out and he says, guess what? We're going to go someplace really exciting, so why don't you come on in and get cleaned up and we'll go. But the child's having too much fun right where they are. And so they keep playing with the sand and enjoying what they're doing. And a little later, the father comes back and tries to encourage again and says, come on, you know, let's go do something really neat. And the child keeps doing what they're doing. And in fact, the father comes out several times and invites the child to come and do something really great. But the child's intent on doing what they're doing, and the father's not going to force them. So finally, at the end of the day, it's way too late to go, and what the father had planned was to take them to Disney World. But the child missed out because they didn't trust the father enough to let go of what they were doing and to go with the father. So let me just ask you, what are you holding on to? Because your Heavenly Father is inviting you to be a part of something amazing. And in order to go with Him, you can't stay where you are. You're going to have to trust Him and let go and follow. Don't miss out. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, for each of us in our lives, there are different things going on, and we get wrapped up in them, and we think, this is it. And you may be calling us to something so much better and so much different from what we expect. And sometimes it's tough stuff that you're asking us to leave situations or to follow in certain ways. But Lord, help us to hear and know that it's really your voice speaking to us. And help us to pay attention when we need to adjust our lives and follow you. Help us to have faith in you in the first place and to be willing to take that action. Lord, you're the only one that really knows what's best in our lives. And if we tell you that we want to follow you, help us to do that. Lord, we trust you completely. In your holy name we pray. Amen.